Good morning. Church, this is Jose Cuevas. Jose, are you 100% certain that Jesus Christ lives in your heart?
Amen.
Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life.
And church family, this is Mackenzie Winter. Mackenzie, are you certain that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism until death, raised to walk in a brand new life.
Church, this is Barry Richardson III. Barry, are you 100% certain Jesus Christ lives in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in a newness of life. Amen.
And church family, this is my little girl, Shelby Smith. And several months ago, she trusted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Shelby, do you know for certain that you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Then I baptize you, my little daughter and my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism until death, raised to walk in a brand new life.
Good morning. We're glad to see you today. Thank you for being here a few minutes early today. Today is Senior Recognition Day. We have 56 seniors that we're going to recognize today here on this campus. We have a very large student ministry. We're grateful for all of our student leaders, our volunteers. Also, our staff team does a super job. Our student pastor, Keith Harmon, is supposed to be announcing. He's the lead student pastor, but he is really sick today and cannot be here. But his right-hand guy, Chuck Butler, who's got the big voice. And boy, I tell you, if I had a voice like Chuck, I could pastor a big church. And I tell you what, I love Chuck and thank God for you. And so, Chuck, why don't you lead the way, please?
All right, Pastor. Introducing first, this is Ashley Abbott, graduating from Harbor High School and attending the University of Arkansas. Connor Abram, graduating from Springdale High School, attending NWAC. Bailey Acord, graduating from Shiloh Christian School, attending Southwest Baptist University. Chelsea Areola, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending Wachita Baptist University. Courtney Bell, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Trevor Bloomfield, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending University of Arkansas. Chris Bryant, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending University of Arkansas. Chris Caver, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending University of Arkansas. Dylan Chola, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending Arkansas Tech University. Devin Cook, graduating from Harbor High School, attending a college soon. Philip Culver, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending the University of Arkansas. Ashley Dawson, graduating from Harbor High School, attending the University of Arkansas. Isaac Foley, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending San Diego Christian College. Courtney Fox, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Cammie Garrison, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending John Brown University. Kristen Gray, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Alyssa Harris, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Karis Hines, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Morgan Henson, graduating from Harbor High School, attending John Brown University. Nick Hopkins, graduating from Springdale High School, attending University of Arkansas. Cody Hubbs, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Reed Joseph, graduating from Harbor High School, attending Texas A&M University. Luke Liddell, graduating from Fayetteville High School, attending University of Central Arkansas. Lance Lloyd, graduating from Harbor High School, attending Full Sail University in Florida. Emily Lohr, graduating from home school, attending West Point after 1 year at Marion Military Institute. Joshua Matlock, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending the University of Arkansas. Tori Miller, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending Liberty University. Joanna Moore, graduating from Fayetteville High School, attending University of Arkansas. Hannah Morris, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending Evangel University. Jordan Nicholson, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Brittany Paraday, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Brandon Pennington, graduating from Harbor High School, attending NWAC. Brandon Pori, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Houston Pruitt, graduating from Harbor High School, attending University of Arkansas. Jimmy Riggs, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attended the University of Arkansas. Jonathan Rogers, graduating from Fayetteville High School, attending the University of Arkansas. Rachel Rogers, graduating from Harbor High School, attending Wichita Baptist University. Josh Salisbury, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending Jefferson College. Jarrett Smith, graduating from Harbor High School, attending the University of Arkansas. Rebecca Sperry, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending Union University. Caitlin Terry, graduating from Harbor High School, attending NWAC. Blake Triplett, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending the University of Arkansas. Trevor Tomlinson, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending the University of Arkansas. Will Whitfield, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending the University of Arkansas. Mitchell Wilkins, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending the U.S. Naval Academy. Abby Williams, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending Union University. Justin Young, graduating from Shiloh Christian, attending Wichita Baptist University. And A.J. Killam, a college graduate from the University of Arkansas.
A.J., congratulations to you, buddy. Outstanding. Well, wow, what a group. That's a big old group, isn't it? And so proud of all you guys. And just pray that you'll live for the Christ and you'll be everything God wants you to be. I want y'all to turn this way for a second now. Listen, so many people, when they go to college, they fall out of church. It's really tragic. And I want to urge you not to be one of those people. Y'all need to change the statistics on that. And this group has the power to do it. You've been a strong group in our student ministry for years. I want to thank you for that. And I want to urge you to be committed. When you come home from college, come to church. I want to see your pretty mug. Mom and dad want to know that you're here. Let your mom and dad know how church is going at college. Amen? Good. And those of you that are going to the University of Arkansas, sometime when you go there, some of our students, they kind of slip away there and they decide they want to do this or that. Well, great news is, as of announcement last week, we're going to have a campus in Fayetteville, just about 5 minutes from the university, if you drive like I do. And hope that you will participate there or participate here at your home church. And always know that you're special to us, and we're proud of every one of you and for where God has you on your journey. And I want to pray for you today. And so if you would, let's pray together. Father, thank you for these students. I thank you that you have had them here. They have had purpose. They have had meaning. And I pray now as you mobilize them across the world, I pray that they will be a witness for Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give them a fellowship of believers wherever they may be going to college, and that they'll be faithful to Jesus and faithful to that church. And I pray, Lord, they will be everything they need to be. Keep them pure, keep them holy, keep them right. Help them to choose a right life and a right way. And I pray that you'll bless them with the right spouse one day, that you will bless them with a career choice that you want them to make. And even though they may think they know what it is today, may they always be open to you, to do whatever you may lead them to do. Thank you for their families. Minister to them in this time of transition. And we give God praise. We give God glory for their lives and for their future. And we pray today as we turn to our moments of worship that the Lord would be pleased, that the Lord would be praised. And may God's people be found today praising the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up one more time for these graduates. And you are dismissed to go be seated wherever you guys want to sit. Yes, I realized when you were in children's choir, we would say, now if all the parents would please stand up. That day's over, guys, all right? And you can sit wherever you want. All right, today Josh Stanberry is away on a week of vacation. And we are pleased today to have from the Champion Forest Church in the great city of Houston, Texas, the fourth largest city in the United States, Dick Hill. Y'all welcome Dick leading us in worship today. Dick, great to have you, man. Lead up, brother.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
All right, so it is time for us to worship. Amen. So let's stand. Tell your neighbors, I am going to sing today for Jesus. what a friend we have in Jesus. You know, as we come together today, He has made us glad, whatever our situation, whatever our circumstances. It was about a year and a half ago that the Lord called my wonderful wife, Dot, home. After an 8-year illness, she lost the use of her legs and then her hands and then her speech. And not long before she lost the use of her speech, she said, "What if I wake up one morning and I don't know who you are?" I said, "It will be okay, because I know who you are. I know how valuable you are to me." And you may be at a place in your life where you say, "God, what are you doing? Who are you?" And He says, "I know you. I have a plan for you. You may not understand, but I love you. And you have made me glad. You have made me glad. It is well with my soul because you have made me glad." Sing out of that gladness this morning. Whatever your circumstance, whatever's going on, praise Him.
Thank you, Dick. Once again, Dick Hill, we're grateful leading our worship today from Houston, Texas. Thank you for being here. In just a moment, Dick's son-in-law is going to come and pray for our offering time. I want to welcome all of you that are here, that our guests would love to know that you're with us today. And I wish that you would, in a moment, just complete briefly one of our communication cards to send the chair back in front of you. And I hope that you will do that in the name of the Lord. Would you do it? In fact, why don't we just right now for a moment, just turn and say good morning to three or four folks around you. You go ahead and do what you need. Yeah. As you remain standing for a moment, Clint Smith, our spiritual development pastor, is going to say a word to you. And then we're going to pray not only for the offering, but for the remaining part of the worship time today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And thank you for being here this morning in worship with us. You know, a lot of people say that, are you sure that's not your dad? And because they said that Dick and I look more alike than he and Ashley. And can't understand that because I'm a lot better looking than he is. But we are glad that you're here this morning. In Malachi chapter 3:10, it says, bring the tithe to the storehouse. This morning, we had students lined up all across this stage. And over in the kids' theater, we have hundreds of children that we're ministering to. There are hundreds of preschoolers over here in classrooms. And the reason why we want you to bring your tithe to the storehouse is so that we can minister and raise up this next generation, to make them strong followers of Jesus Christ and make a difference and an impact in their world. So pray with me now as our men prepare for the offering and ask God to bless this time. Lord, we come to your house and God, we worship you. Lord, we thank you for all you are to us, all that you've given us. And Lord, we praise your name. And today, Lord, as our church has gathered together, Lord, I pray that those that give, Lord, that you will bless their home, Lord. You will give them back fivefold. And Lord, that you will stretch these tithes and offerings, Lord, to make a difference in Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. And Dick Hill, thank you one more time for being here today. Let's give it up for Dick. He will be on his way to Pinnacle Hills to help us with our Pinnacle Hills location today in Josh's absence today. This morning I want to talk to you about a new way to see and to reach Northwest Arkansas for Jesus Christ. I hope you have a copy of the Word of God today, because I want to point you to the revelation in chapter 5 and the revelation in chapter 7. Revelation 5 and Revelation chapter number 7. The scripture I'm going to read in just a moment, but before I even read it, I want you to grasp something with me for a moment today as you are finding that final book in the New Testament. The International Mission Board tells us that in the world today, 6.7 plus billion people live. In fact, it's right now just under 6.8 billion people. And from that 6.7 billion people that live in the world today, 3.5 billion of those people have no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? And of this 6.7 billion people, it is comprised of 11,588 people groups. Groups of people that exist in the world in which we live. Many times, different languages, different dialects. But 11,588 different people groups. And out of that 11,588 people groups, 6,667 of them are unreached people groups. You know what that means? That means they have absolutely no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ at all. And some of those people groups have literally countless millions of people. 6,667 unreached people groups. Now, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation 7 something that we need to understand and hear clearly today. The Bible says in Revelation 5, verse 8 through 10, the following words. Oh, before I read this, let me remind you. In the Word of God, we read about Jesus in chapter 1. In chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, we read about the church of Jesus Christ. Revelation 4, verse 1, something happens to the church. John no longer sees the church, but John is looking into heaven and begins to see the church. What many believe prophetically is that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, that's where the rapture of the church occurs. Paul talks about it in Thessalonians. John writes about it in Revelation. And John was unveiled heaven. And here in the unveiling of heaven, we read about what he saw happening in heaven. Worship was happening, but I want you to notice who was worshiping. The Bible says in chapter 5, verse 8, when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. Each one had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And these saints, the church, they sang a new song. Now here's the song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slaughtered and you redeemed people for God by your blood. And who did he redeem people for? By his blood. Listen to this. From every tribe and language and people and nation. You know what that stands for? People groups. You made them a kingdom and a priest to God, and they will reign on the earth. Then John continues in the vision of heaven, and over in chapter number 7, verse 9 and 10, the revelation continues. He writes, "After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation." Very important. From every nation, tribe, people, and language. Here he was looking into heaven, and he was seeing every people group of the world represented at the Lamb of God bringing worship to the Father. And then the scripture says, no one could number. There were so many. And they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were robed in white, indicating redemption, with palm branches in their hands, meaning what? Symbolizing worship. And they cried out with a loud voice, the scripture says, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." What an incredible promise in the Word of God. What an unbelievable promise when you realize that today in the world, 3.5 billion people have no access to the gospel, and 6,667 people groups, nation, tribe, people, and languages do not have access to the gospel. But something will happen between now and something will happen between then. Because at the throne of God, every people group in the world will be worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, somehow the gospel will get to those people, and some of those people will say yes to Christ, or they will say yes to the revelation that has been given to them on this earth. You see, we realize that also from research that some 700 to 800 million people in the world have declared Jesus as Lord and Savior out of that 6.7 billion. Therefore, we realize that many have heard the gospel and they have rejected the gospel. But we also know that 3.5 billion have no access to the gospel. Last week, we talked about advancing our mission. And when we talked about that, we read from a passage in the Word that many of us could quote, and I just want to read it again today because it coincides with exactly what we just read in the Revelation. Jesus' words in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Remember last week, not territories. Not a map and looking at the lines of the map. This is this country and this is that country. That's not what was going on here. He was saying from all nations, ethne, every people group, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. In this passage, Jesus commissions his church, each one of us. He commissions us to go to the nations, to the people groups of the world, Jesus says, and present the good news of Jesus, the life-changing power of the gospel, that Christ died for all people. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. And that if you open your heart to Christ, you turn from sin and turn your life to Christ, Christ will come, save you from your sin, forgive you, wash you, make you a brand new person. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says that we, all of us in this room, everyone who is listening today, every true born again Christian has to go to the people groups of the world and take the good news of the gospel. Last week I shared a part of a new vision of us creating a third campus in the city of Fayetteville in the late fall of 2010. If you were not here, I want to urge you to get a copy of the message, DVD, CD, get a podcast of it, download it, watch it, go online, be a part of it, understand what we're talking about. You see, we believe that when we can place a campus in a highly populated region of a given city, that history proves that we could reach more people for Jesus Christ. Over these last several months, God has taken me on a personal journey that has really, really altered my thinking and altered my life. And through that journey, God began to really challenge me, relook at what you're doing where you are. Rethink what you are doing where you are. We are right now beginning a process, and we're going to unveil it this fall, of a new and simple strategy. We call it an evangelism strategy, a way to take the good news of Christ to every person in Northwest Arkansas. That will be our goal. Not one person will be left out. To take the good news of Christ to every person in the region and to make disciples of all the nations. This fall, we're going to open that vision. We're going to unveil that vision. But one simple part of one segment of that vision today, I want to cast for you today. Because it's going to take you some time to get your arms around it, begin to understand it, see how it can affect your life and can affect my life. You see, I've been asking myself some very difficult questions. Questions like the following regarding Northwest Arkansas. Is there a better way to reach it? I mean, you know, it's not the same Northwest Arkansas it was even a decade ago, even 5 years ago. Everything has changed massively in this area. But even though that question is significant, I don't think it's near as important as the next question. How can we penetrate the lostness of Northwest Arkansas more effectively? That's what I'm interested in. How can we truly penetrate the lostness that exists in this region? People who do not have a relationship with Christ, how can we more effectively penetrate their lives with the good news of Jesus Christ? The North American Mission Board research reveals to us that in the metropolitan region of Northwest Arkansas, which includes Washington and Benton counties, also included in this research is Madison County, Arkansas, and also thrown in the research is the southern part of Missouri known as McDonough County, Missouri. That in that group of people known as Northwest Arkansas, 65.7% are lost. Lostness, 65.7%. I talked about this briefly last week when we were together. You know what this means? That means that from the population of this region, at least 65.7% of these people have never been born again, and they do not and have not declared Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and their personal Savior. Now, I want to make this real clear today. Only God knows who is and who isn't. But there is a way that research can tell you that. That is very, very accurate. Years ago, when we wanted to reach more people for Christ and penetrate lostness, you know what we would do? We would have more events. We would have more revivals and we would have more activities. And that's the way we reached people years ago. But you know, people don't come to church like they used to come years ago. People used to hardly ever miss a Sunday. Now, some of the most active people we have only come 2 out of 4 weeks a month. I mean, things have changed. Many people feel like they're connected, and many of them won't be here but once every 4, 5, 6 weeks. I don't quite understand all that, but that's where the culture is today. But years ago, won't cut it anymore. Even though we can have more revivals and more activities and more events, and we should. We don't need to discredit that. We need to have balance in anything we do. And we can reach people that way. But listen very carefully today. We've got to understand there is a new America that we're living in. Because you see, here's the issue. America is now a true mission field. The world has come to us. Out of the 306 million people in America, 233 million are lost and do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not the America I grew up when I was a boy. That's not the America that existed a decade ago. Things have changed and they are changing rapidly, and lostness is growing. Why is this so true today? Because the world is flat. The world has come right here to America, even to Northwest Arkansas. Tom Rainer, who is the president of Lifeway and of Lifeway Research as well, which he oversees ultimately. And by the way, pray for Tom. Tom has a home that's on close to a river, evidently, in Brentwood, Tennessee. And he and his wife are on the way to Florida, and they've had to turn around and go back home because already the river has come up to their basement and it's rising, and they could lose their entire home in Nashville. But Tom recently told us this. He said that if you were born in 1946 or before, you're what is called the Bridger generation. Out of the Bridger generation, 65% of that generation is Christian. I won't make those of you who were born in 1946 and before raise your hand today, but out of your generation, 65% of you say that you are born again. Those that were born from 1946 to 1964, those were the baby boomers. Out of that group, 35% are Christian. That's my generation. I'm a young boomer, not an old boomer. And then those who were born in 1965 to 1979, that's the Gen X generation, and 25% of that generation is Christians. Are you watching this? Pretty sad, isn't it? And then the group that is born between 1980 and the year 2000, that's the millennial generation. 15% of that generation is Christian. Would you please notice that on the screen? Notice the downward trajectory, the downward spiral, that ever since World War II, the people that have born, since World War II, every generation since World War II, America is becoming more lost, all the way from 65%. Are Christian, less Christian, all the way from 65% to 15%. Rainer told us recently that if that doesn't change, thousands of churches will close in the next several years. Here's the question. Since America is so lost, why don't we try to reach America in Northwest Arkansas like we try to reach an unreached region of the world? You ever thought about that? I mean, if you were to go today to the country of Chad, or you were to go today to some country like Malawi, or you were to go to some nation in the Asia area like China, obviously, even though there's a boom there for following Christ, I mean, there are countless millions who've never even heard of who Jesus is. Well, you would do it differently than we have done it here in America. But you see, no longer is America like it used to be. America is extremely lost today. So why don't we think about reaching America like we reach a country overseas that is lost? Therefore, a few weeks ago, I began to challenge our staff team in laying out a vision that I believe it's going to take for us to be able to do this. You see, one of the ways we need to do this is simply this. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. We need to go back to what the Bible says and to what the Bible simply says. What do you mean? Here it is. Jesus said what? Jesus said, go to every people group of the world and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's just go back there. You see, when we think about people groups in America, we think about overseas. We don't even think about people groups here. But you have to understand today, we are in desperate need of understanding so much about what is going on in our own nation. The nation has changed. Northwest Arkansas has changed. And most of us, if it doesn't affect our life, we don't even think about it. But it is affecting your life. So today, I want to just throw a few things out here for you to think about. For you to begin to grasp and to look at with me. First of all, we need to learn our mission field. We need to learn our mission field. You need to adjust your mindset immediately as a Christian and as a church. The mindset of the past can no longer serve us as the mindset for the future. America is a mission field, lost in desperate need for the good news of Jesus Christ. And when you see people, you've got to begin to think of them as people that know Christ or don't know Christ. And when you see those people, we have to understand that we have to see them as lost without hope, just like Jesus sees them as lost without hope. This isn't about Baptist and Methodist and Catholic and non-denoms and Bible church. Hey, get out of that thinking. Move out of that. Hey, we'll take anybody that wants to come that believes the Word of God, who believes Jesus is the only way. But I want to make it real clear today. That's not the way we're going to really penetrate lostness in Northwest Arkansas. It's a bunch of Baptist churches changing church members. We have got to go to one place to penetrate the lostness, and that is to lost people. You see, when you begin to see people, it's different in this culture that is a very diverse culture today. Things are going to change. There's a second thing. Not only must we learn a mission field, but we must define our people groups. Define our people groups. Now, are you dialing in for a moment? In a moment, I'm going to talk about all kinds of people groups. But I don't want to forget to talk briefly about white Anglo-English-speaking people group, because that's the dominant people group here in Northwest Arkansas. But none of us are alike. Underneath that people group, there are many cultures, subcultures that exist, and we've got to learn those subcultures and penetrate those subcultures, because we got to become where they are. It comes back to what Paul said. We've got to be willing to become what people need us to become in order to reach more. That's what we've got to do. Obviously, English is more dominant language here in Northwest Arkansas, but I'm telling you, even that's changing. When I talk about defining our people groups today, can I just cast this one more moment for you? And would this just get all over you this week? Remember that 65.7% of the people that you meet do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look around the business table next week at your job, and there are 10 of you sitting around the table. That means 3.5 know him, and 6.5 don't. Well, how do you get the half? I don't know. You figure it out. Are you with me? You see, we've got to learn to define our people groups. And while we know that there is the dominant Anglo-white, English-speaking people in Northwest Arkansas, that is a whole different issue. I want to leave that issue for a moment. I want to go to other people groups. I started asking the question, do we even know who they are? The other day, I entertained and talked to some of America's fastest growing churches, the largest churches in America. They were here. Gene and I hosted those pastors and their wives, and I threw this out. And I'm telling you, they had never heard that like that and began to think about this. I told them, I said, go home and try to begin to figure out who your people groups are, because we've got to change the way we're thinking. Let's take Benton and Washington County for a moment. Let me tell you what we've learned. We have learned that we have 65 people groups in Benton and Washington County, other than this white Anglo group that speaks English. 65 people groups in America, in Northwest Arkansas, that are here. This is also what we've learned, that 24 of those groups have more than 50 household units living here. In other words, out of these 65 people groups that live in Northwest Arkansas, other than people that look like most of us in this room today, out of that, 24 of those groups have people that have more than 50 household units living in Northwest Arkansas in these two counties. And of those people groups, 38 languages exist. 38 languages are spoken by those groups. Some would say, well, is the University of Arkansas included in that? You know what? That's real difficult to grasp on research. But in reality, probably not, because it's mobile and it's hard to get your arms around it in research. So here's what we have found. I want you to listen to this today. Let me introduce you to a new Northwest Arkansas that most of us don't even think about. We have the following people groups and countries represented. And I want to begin with 50 units, family units and above. In other words, it's going to grow. Are you with me? Growing to the largest group. Here's where the bottom 50 begin, and it begins to grow. Are you ready? Russia. How many of you know any Russians? Poland. Panama. France continues to grow. Thailand. Taiwan. Peru. Nicaragua. Bolivia. Japan. Costa Rica. Malaysia, South Korea, Honduras, the Philippines, Canada, Vietnam, Germany, Laos, India, Guatemala, China, El Salvador, and Mexico being the largest. Northwest Arkansas has changed. When you talk about language groups that begin with 50 units or more, what are those languages that are being spoken? 50, and it grows. Malay, Persian, Arabic, Bengali, Hindi, Dutch, Polish, Russian, Mandarin, Tamil, Telugu, Japanese, Italian, Korean, Tagalog, Vietnamese, Marshallese, Laotian, German, French, and Spanish. Can you imagine German being the third most spoken language here in Northwest Arkansas other than English speaking, and then French, and then Spanish? You see, this does not even include all of the 65 people groups. This includes just 24 of those that have 50 units and above. Can I just make a statement for all of us today? Jesus died for every one of them, and he has told you and me to go get them. That's what he said. He said, you go to every people group, and you share the good news of Christ with them. The third thing we got to do is strategize to reach them. You know, it's really funny about the Church of America today. Our church is no different. Hundreds of our people every year would get on a plane, give up 10 days at work, 2 weeks at work, a week at work, fly for hours, deal with inconveniences, go try to reach a people group for Christ. Yet, I got a question for you. How many of us are doing anything about reaching those people groups that are right here in our own backyard? Don't you think we have a little more accountability here? That doesn't say we don't go there. We do need to go there, but we also need to go here and understand here. You see, our church is going to create a strategy, and we're going to lead us to the process of that every people group in Northwest Arkansas will have a gospel witness of Jesus Christ. We want to learn together with you. We don't have all the answers. In fact, I can tell you, we're on cutting edge ground, and it's hard to find anything other than that which we create. Let me remind you. God says that every people group and every language group will one day be represented at the throne of Jesus, worshiping Jesus before it's all over. Amen. So what do we have to do? We have to mobilize our church to reach them. And I have an idea there. And this is what I want you to begin thinking about. I want you to begin gnawing on this. I want you to begin to really process this. I want you to let this get all over you and begin to think about how it can happen to reach them. First of all, each connection group, that's our small group ministry in our church. You can even throw in the choir here, by the way. Each connection group take ownership to reach one of those 65 people groups. We're going to ask you to do that this fall. Take ownership. That's my people group. Lord, I sold for 3.5 years. We would put people on a plane. They'd go to a certain city in China that we still cannot say out loud. And they would go and they've walked every street in a city of China with 1 million-plus people. Praise God. What an amazing feat that is. But I say once again, we need to be involved praying for people groups right here as well. Number two, each connection group began to research the group they're assigned to and desire to attempt to reach them. Research them. Man, you could research a lot. We need you to do that. I don't have time personally to sit down and research 65 people groups. You don't have time to do 65, but if your connection group will own one of those groups, then your connection group can become scholars about that group. And that's what you've got to do. You got to learn your mission field. Does that mean that's what you solely go after? No, because you got this. You got these other people groups out here. You also have white Anglo-English-speaking people and different colors English-speaking people who are lost and desperate for a gospel witness as well. It's a both and. But we have to concentrate as well and focus. Thirdly, begin to educate your connection group every week for 3 minutes about the people group you're attempting to reach. And then pray for God to somehow open a door to reach them. Because that's what it's going to take, is a door being opened to reach them. You know, in that city where our people had gone and they had prayer walked, that entire city over a 3.5 year period of time. And to our knowledge, at that moment when that was started in a city of over 1 million people, we had no knowledge of the gospel whatsoever at all, even existing in that city of pure lostness. That's why we were assigned the city. But shortly after it happened, you know what we discovered? And we didn't discover it until just recently. That God was raising up a man to go into that same city. And that man began to tell the gospel and share the gospel. He began house churches. And you know what exists today? And we just found this out. That while God had us praying and walking, God called a man there. And that man right now is leading 1,000 home churches. In a city that had no gospel witness 3.5 years ago. So I'm telling you, we got a God who is very committed to winning people who do not have faith and trust in Him. Number four, each connection group, find out where your people group is in Northwest Arkansas. That's not easy to find. I will tell you this, we do know this much. Many of them live in the same area many times. Sometimes not. So it's hard to know, but I just want you to understand that's a big deal to find out where they are. How are you going to reach them if you don't know where they are? So how in the world do you do that? Well, then number five, each connection group, find a way to relate to them and serve them in some way. Relate to them and serve them in some way. I mean, obviously, we could put every connection group in this church on those that speak Spanish. I mean, we could. I mean, I'm telling you, there are that many people from Mexico that live in this region. But listen, we have others as well. And number six, each connection group earn the privilege to reach them with the gospel. Earn the privilege to share the gospel with them. How do you earn the privilege? You relate to them. You love them. You figure out who they are. You get in their lives. They get in your lives. And all of a sudden, sooner or later, because you have prayed about it, because God has opened the door, a big God who is committed, may I remind you, to raise up every people group and language to be at the throne of God one day to worship Him. He's committed to them getting the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, listen carefully, and I'll close today. some of these people groups. You will go after two or three of the connection groups in our church, our Pinnacle Hills congregation. That's okay. There's plenty of lostness here. There's plenty of lostness to go around. At the same time, we got this vast number of English-speaking people who are desperately in need for Jesus. Why is this important, Ronnie? Because the Scripture says that's what you ought to do. That's what Jesus told us to do. Why is it important? Because God's brought them here. God's brought them here, not simply to work at a corporation, but God's brought them here to share the good news of Jesus with them. Because you know what? If their lives can be transformed, many of them, once they're finished here, they go back to their homeland, which is totally unreached, and many of them can meet Christ as Lord and Savior. We got a God who's very committed to winning the lost. So question today, why did I talk about this? I'll tell you why I talked about it. Because it's biblical. That's why I talked about it. Because that's what Jesus said. You see, sometime when we read Matthew 28, 19, and 20, and we talk about the Great Commission, we always think about way overseas over there. What about right here? I guarantee you, you stand these 50-plus students up here today that we honored at the beginning of the service today. I guarantee you, they'll tell you how the high schools in this region have changed dramatically since they started going even 3 years ago. Things have changed, folks. So with these, I lay before you. Regardless of what people group it is, let me ask you today, who do you know that's lost and without faith in Jesus Christ? Who do you know? Who do you know of these 65 people groups that you even relate to? You know, some of those people are already at our church, so they can help us get in and do what we need to do. I mean, our church is growing in diversity, but I want to tell you, this church needs to look like Northwest Arkansas, not like a bunch of middle-class, white, English-speaking people. We need to look like the community. We need to look like the culture. Living holy, of course, but we need to look like it. Complexions need to change. Language groups need to occur. We need to do what we must need to do and have to do to reach the region with the gospel. That's what God's called us to do. But how many of those people groups do you even know? How many of them do you do business with? Has it ever dawned on you they need Christ? Has it ever dawned on you God may have you in a path other than just to make a deal with? Or to greet in the hallway, God has brought you and them together for a divine purpose. And I want to ask you today, what are you doing? What are we doing? What is our church doing? What is your connection group doing? What are you doing to really penetrate lostness? Every morning I pray that God will give me a divine opportunity to share the good news with someone who has never heard the gospel before. Do you ask God for that? And then when God brings it your way, are you faithful to share him? Unload the gospel of them in a sweet way? Oh, I tell you what, if we believe the book, are you listening? If we believe the book, then we have no alternative but to go and to tell of the saving love of Jesus Christ. We got to start here. We got to continue across America and across the world. All three at one. Not one in spite of the other. Not one in place of another. All are important. You know why? Because every person that God created is important to God. And Jesus died for all of them.